word might convict us and convince us of the truth that'll set us free. The purpose of your word is to set us free, that we might love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. So we give you praise, Lord God, that that is your purpose today, is to cause us, to help us to become like you in every way, and to no longer be led by our own emotions or our own thoughts, our own will, our own desires, but to trust you, that you care for us more than we do, and that you know more about us than we do, and that you want the best for us at all times, and to bless us beyond measure, beyond anything we can think or imagine, that you don't want to bless us just in the future, but also today, that you love us just as we are, and that your desire is to make whatever changes need to be made so that we may experience your fullness, your glory, your greatness. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. All right, chapter 4, behold, the Lord makes the earth empty. The Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. The Lord who owns everything, if he creates it, then he owns it. And if he owns it, he governs it. And it's his decision to make the earth empty. And he makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters abroad all the inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, the problem with the people is the priest. If the pastors, the imams, the priests, whoever, the rabbis, whoever the religious leaders are, they are the ones that could cause either good or bad. And so we see here that the Lord says, as the people are, so are the priests. As with the servant, so is the master. As with the maid, so it is with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land, verse 3, shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. So this is true, of course, not only in Isaiah's day, 600 some years before Jesus, but also true in our own day, that the earth right now is being judged because the Lord's about to return, and judgment is always good for us because the judgment is always for hope. In other words, he's judging our sins. He's not judging us. He's judging it so that we will turn from our wicked ways and turn to him while there's yet time. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants, because, and this is why the earth is in trouble, because the people, the inhabitants, have transgressed the laws, have changed the ordinance, and have broken God's everlasting covenant. Not only that which is written on every man's heart, that's why he knows when he does wrong, he knows when he's done right, but also because of the covenant that God made with Abraham of faith, and the covenant that God made through Moses. Those laws are broken, but particularly the Abrahamic covenant of faith, that we don't have faith in God, that he loves us and will take care of us. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. So he's describing not only our day today, but this in the near future, that God intends for this to take place as a warning to us so that we get ready. The new wine mourneth, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tabrets, musical instruments, ceases. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall no longer drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion, which would be another name for Babylon, but also you could say it's another name for Jerusalem. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, and no man may come in. There's crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened, and the mirth of the land is gone. Now remember, this is all part of the Lord's blessing for the earth to do this so that we wake up. The mirth of the land is gone. The city is left desolate, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. So after all this shaking and after all of this desolation, there's hope. Wherefore, glory you in the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost parts of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. In other words, it was hard for Israel when she got sent into exile to sing her songs since she wasn't in her land any longer. But God is going to restore us, and that's why we sing. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. In other words, men are mistreating men. Fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth, and it shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into a pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. In other words, there's no escape. There's no way that one can avoid the judgment of God and the justice of God. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day, when all that happens, that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones, the proud ones, the lifted up ones, that are on high, and all the kings of the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days, then they shall be visited. In other words, judgment. Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun shall be ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. Now the next two chapters will explain the hope that even though God judges, he never judges to destroy. He always judges to redeem. He only judges so that men may be made wise. Is don't hide your sins and don't pretend that you're innocent, and God will it will catch everybody in the snare. So this sounds like bad news, but actually it's wonderful news, because it's actually going to happen, and it's already starting to happen. But God wants to judge everything that's shakable. He's going to shake. Everything that's wrong is going to be corrected. And so God wants his people, and if you have to, you have to come next week to hear the good news, but he wants his people. Now you got to hear the bad news before you hear the good news. Why would you go to the doctor unless you were sick? So you have to hear that you got problems. So I think two or three of you could testify. Yes, I have not yet purified. I have not yet cleaned up my life. Yes, I felt like I could sneak a few things by. You will not. I just want you to know you're not going to escape. God is doing this because he loves. God loves sinners. But because he loves you, he hates sin. So he wants to separate the sin from the sinner, and that doesn't just fall off. You actually have to go through the threshing machine. You have to go through the fire. You have to go through chastening. You have to go through troubles. You have to get spanking. And the spanking is for your good. It's never to harm you. It's never to destroy you. He loves you. So his purpose is not destruction. His purpose is to separate you from that which is destroying you. Take out the cancer. Take out that which is doing the harm, which you have voluntarily agreed to. All of us have sinned. That is, we voluntarily chose it. That is, it was not given to you by natural birth. When you were born, God did not give you a sinful nature. I'm going to say it again. When you were born, you have on your heart written God's law, which says don't do this and do this. You chose to do what you are not supposed to do, that is, ignore your conscience, ignore your reason, ignore your sense of justice and decency. You chose to do that, everybody, not just Adam and Eve, but everybody chose at some point to say, no, I don't want to. Everybody chose to be selfish rather than loving others, loving God, even loving the enemy and the neighbor. You just chose that. And if you lie about that, if you lie to God, it's okay because he can see through it. If you lie to other people, it may take them a while because they're also lying, so they might not catch your lie. But if you lie to yourself, that's the worst thing. You are a miserable, rotten, deceptive, treacherous person, and you chose it. Could I hear an amen? Okay. Now, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, you didn't live up to the glorious destiny that he had for you. He gave you a good heart. You turned it evil. You made it evil. But he forgives you for that. He's not mad at you because you did that. He's only now offering you who did that is don't lie about it. Don't hide it. Bring it out in the open. Confess it. Yes, I did wrong. Yes, I did that to hurt you. Yes, I did. I looked around for the thing that could hurt you the most and I did it. And if I didn't do it, I wanted to do it. And even if I wanted to do it, I might not have done it, but I really desired to hurt you. Now, how many know that you're that way? You just chose to be that way. And I forget who made you do that, or the devil, or whatever. You did it. It doesn't matter. You can't blame the devil. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil's just a talker. He just talked. Well, he deceived me. I know. You chose to be deceived. You could have asked God. You could have said, God, should I do what the devil says or what you say? But you didn't. It's just like when you get married, you usually don't ask God. You usually just marry someone that you think is wonderful and so on and so forth. And then you are shocked later. Not only that your mate is not what you thought they were, you just thought, well, I thought they were going to be different. But you're also shocked at yourself for being a bad self toward that other bad self. So now two bad selves are married, which you should have known before you got into it. But anyway, you didn't ask God. And so because if you ask God and he said, marry this bad person, then it'd be all right because then you're obeying God and you're trusting him. How many know that everybody marries bad persons? And everybody is a bad person that marries a bad person. So if you had good counseling like I give, you would know that before you got into that situation. Is you are not a saint, they are not a saint. Even if you are a saint, you still behave like you're not a saint sometimes, and the other person's going to do that. And you have to learn to forgive one another as they are and as you yourself are. Stop being hard on yourself. Stop doing it. Just go to God and say, God, look, I did it. I did it deliberately. I did it consciously. I did it knowingly. I tried to hide it. Wasn't so good at it, but I tried, and you caught me. So everybody has sinned. Can I hear an amen? Okay, everybody has gone astray. You've missed the mark. You've gotten off the highway. You didn't go the way he said to go, which is don't eat of that tree. You ate of it. And you ate of it and loved it and enjoyed it and wanted to eat more. And that's okay. God is not mad at that. God is not mad at that. How many know God loves sinners? Okay, not people that say they didn't sin or try to hide the sin or put fig leaves all over their sin. So he will not buy suppression, like, well, I hated you, but I suppressed it. He's not going to buy that. I hated you, But then I talked myself out of that and said I didn't really hate you, and therefore I suppressed it. No, I repressed it. It doesn't buy that. How many know God can see through intellectual suppression or emotional repression? He can see through all of that. He has eyes that penetrate all those little tricks. The heart is deceitful above all things. Once you harden your heart against God and you don't listen to your conscience and so on, and you just do your own thing, it's okay. He's not mad. He'll send Jesus, crucify Jesus, and that pays for it. That's the antidote. That's the healing. That's the balm. That's the medicine. So when you read all these words, you got to keep going, because those are just part of the picture. How many know that the truth will set you free? And what we want to teach here is the truth. If you say to somebody, oh, you're a Christian, you're okay, you're all perfect now and so on, you're not. How many know that after you're a Christian, you still sin? How many know that Christians still sin? Even after the Christians. And I know their sin's been forgiven, and I know you have a new heart, but you don't yet have a new soul, and you don't have yet a new body. It takes a while. How many know that Christians in this church actually sin? And sometimes they mean it. And sometimes when they say they don't mean it, they still do mean it. Oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. You meant it. Now, God's not mad at all that. He already sent Jesus to pay for that. So Jesus has paid for it. It's washed. It's completely gone from your heart. And then if you'll trust him, he'll send you through the fire, through affliction. In other words, let you experience what you've done, so that then you can get not the full punishment, because Jesus took the full punishment, but you can at least be chastised and realize, you know what? That didn't lead to happiness. I did what I wanted, and it didn't help. And that's good. That's the only way to grow. That's the only way to learn, is the hard way. How many know every little child born into the world is going to get a spanking sooner or later, or needs to, because they're going to be willful. They're going to be selfish. They're not going to care for what you want. They're going to care for what they want. I don't want to. And every little kid is that way. There's never been a child on earth, even when they suppress it and repress it and pretend. They're not good. How many know that everybody's bad? Everybody. Now, if you just get realistic on that, God will then judge it, but not to destroy you, only to destroy it, because it is hurting you. And he can't take you into his house unless you're perfect, but only he can do that. You cannot make yourself perfect. You cannot even want to be perfect. You cannot even think your way to perfect. You cannot feel your way to perfect. So stop it. Stop wasting time laboring, burdening yourself down. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more work. No, I will give you rest. I'm not going to dump more stuff on you. Jesus did not come to give you another Moses law. He was enough. You know, what Moses said was enough. Be perfect as God is perfect, you know, and so on. So we know that that is not helpful. Now we know that God gave through Moses a tough word. Be just like God. Be just like God. You can't. So could I hear a big, I can't? He can, and we will together. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I can't be perfect. He can, he is. And he did it for me. Therefore, together, we can. I can do all things now through Christ, who loved me, who strengthens me, who's for me. See? So there's no, that's the truth that'll set you free. Now, the truth is not, don't be a sinner or God will get you. That's not the truth. That is not the truth. I know God said it. I know God said it. You eat of that tree, the day you eat of it, you'll die. But that was not the whole word. He had a secret word that he hadn't shared yet. And then first he wanted you to know that you weren't any good and that you couldn't do good. And even if you did do bad, he still would love you. That was the first thing he had to teach you. So if you're left alone on your own, if we leave all the little kids back in the nursery and we just have no person there that's an adult or, you know, watching over them, they will pretty soon be biting one another and gouging one another and screaming and yelling, and they'll be crying back there. Is everybody aware of that? Because someone will have a toy and another one will want that toy. And pretty soon they'll pull it away and that one will, ah, you know, and the other one will, ah, and so on. And that's the way people are. So when we grow up, we imagine we're not like that still. We just have better ways of hiding it. And we bite, and you can't even tell that it was us. But we devour one another. And so it's okay. God sees through all that. He still is not mad. He still is not angry. He took it all out on Jesus to let you be very clear that he is not going to get you for your sins. He's going to separate them from you, cut them out like a surgeon would cut out cancer out of your body to help you. Is it painful when he cuts? Yes. Does the flesh like it? No. Does it hurt you to have it cut out? No. It's actually a blessing. It helps you. That's why a lot of us don't want to go through his chastening, his instruction. We don't want to do what we're told. We don't want to trust his word, but it's the truth, and it'll set you free. God desires truth in the inward parts. Parts means there's more than one, heart, soul. You cannot see anyone's heart, and you cannot see any man's soul. You don't even know your own heart and soul. What little you know is enough to convict you that you're something wrong. But it's not enough to actually tell you the whole truth. Unless God told you that you were completely wicked, you wouldn't know it. You would think you were wicked now and again. You would think you were wicked occasionally, or you would think you're wicked too much. But you wouldn't know that you're not wicked too much, you're wicked all the time, apart from him. So, and there's no difference, by the way, between one person and another. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So did you know that everybody in this room is exactly equal to everybody else in the room? Are you all aware of that? There's nobody worse than you are, which is good news, but it's also bad news because there's nobody worse than you are. You know, they're just like you. And so therefore, we're all alike. And God, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all men, not the good or the bad. He just died for everybody, because all had sinned. And then he offered salvation or redemption or full restoration to everybody that will just trust him. Now, to get your heart new, you just believe. But to get your soul new, yourself, the hidden thing that's inside of you, to get that clean, you actually have to go through fire. You cannot just believe in Jesus going through the cross. You have to go through your own cross. So Jesus goes through the cross, that gives you a new heart. If you believe that, you hear it. You hear it, you believe what you hear, and then you're free. Now you're a new creation. But that's only your heart. But to get your soul and your life perfect, cleansed, purified, that's going to take you going through the cross, you obeying, you following into the fire, you doing whatever it takes. That's why God is saying all those things. God is saying all those things to say, that's what it's going to take to reach you. How many know that you are stubborn? Even after you're born again, you still have stubbornness, not from the heart, but it is yet from the soul. It's in the mind, it's in the will, it's in the emotions. So you still have stubbornness in you. And that stubbornness should not surprise us. When we are stubborn one to another, we just forgive it. When someone is stubborn toward me, I forgive it. And when I'm stubborn toward them, I forgive it. So, in everything you do, just don't pay attention to what people do. Pay attention to them. Build them up. Forget what they've done. Forgive it. Don't notice it. Just don't count it. Why? Because God doesn't count yours. If God doesn't count, why should we count? But we Christians do count it. I think Larry was getting at that in the beginning when he was talking about the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We sometimes notice it and try to pressure people into whatever, behaving. But God doesn't want behavior. He wants actually a new heart, then a new soul, then a new body, where you don't do the behaving, he does it all. He is in you through the Holy Spirit, through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's why you have to be baptized in the Spirit. That is Christ in you through the Spirit to work all that out. So that just men are made perfect. You have a new heart, but now you need a new soul, then you need a new life. How many of you can never, okay, let's say God shows you a sin. It's not showing you the sin so you'll feel bad. Definitely not showing you the sin so you'll stop. He's only showing you the sin he's working on so that you will not say, I want to keep that. Now, if you say, I want to keep it, he won't work on it. If you say, God, whoa, whoa, don't, what are you doing? I don't want you to work on that one. He won't. In other words, he will never force you to be good. In other words, love doesn't force. Love cannot force. There's no force in love. That's why the right hand of the gospel is without force. It has power, but the power is the power of him doing it for you, in you, and through you. That's a different kind of power than you. You don't have to labor and work at it. But on the left hand, you do. You clean up or else you're going to be punished. Okay, there you have to work at it. But since nobody ever in the history of the world has ever done what God said from the heart, from the soul, from the body, because your hearts are already evil. So your motives are never going to be good. And by the way, you'll never really clean up everything anyway. So you just can't do it because you don't do perfect stuff. God does. So the right hand of God is more powerful than the left hand. This hand is great. It's good. Behave yourself or else. But this one's better. And if you don't, Jesus Christ will behave for you, then he'll behave in you, then he'll behave through you, and he'll give you the glory for free. That's a better one. I mean, this is better than this. This one here, you have to work as hard as you can, and then you still don't make it. You still can't make it, even if you worked as hard as you could and tried to be as good as you wanted to, suppressed, repressed, oppressed, you know, it doesn't make any difference. You're never going to get anywhere. So this one is the only hand that's the truth that was hidden for ages from the world. The Jewish people never saw it. It was given to Abraham 430 years before Moses, but they didn't see it. They're still trying to this day to behave themselves. How many know you cannot behave yourself? I mean, you can behave outwardly, but you know you're a hypocrite and a liar. And you know, hey, I'm just, you know, it's costing me a lot to labor because what I really want to say to you is, and what I really want to do to you is. How many know that that's the phoniness and the fakery, and that's why the whole world is sick, physically sick, because they're mentally and emotionally, you know, stressed. You know, it's a lot of work to think through things and try to control your emotions. Has anybody ever discovered that? You know, you're emotionally, you want to write, you know, just get vengeance right on people right away. Whoa, what'd you do? I'll get you first, and so on. Well, that doesn't work. How many know that doesn't work? It doesn't work. The righteousness of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. Well, I did it because you deserved it. How many know that doesn't work? That does not make for good relationships. In a relationship, if you love somebody, you will be hurt. I'm going to say it again. In a relationship, if you love somebody, you're going to be hurt. Now, don't make me explain it. I just state it. And I know, well, I love so-and-so, and they love me back, and so on. Okay, fine. I could explain it, but I don't know. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just telling you, if you love somebody, you're going to be hurt. God loves us, and he could then be hurt because we don't love back, and you know we die on him, and all kinds of things. But don't ever think you're going to find happiness here apart from God. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. All your trust is not in yourself or in other people. All your trust is not in anything except the Lord. That he has a hidden word, a secret word, which is the truth that'll set everybody free. Does that make sense? Okay, all of that is what I just read out of Isaiah 24 chapter, and I picked it because it's an awful chapter. I like that chapter. I didn't pick it, God did. I asked God, show me the awful chapter. So, as I said, the bad news precedes the good news, because the good news is that no matter what he did to Israel, Israel did it herself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, blah, 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 then I will blah, 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 blah. But they didn't do it, so he blah, 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 blah. Okay, but if my people don't, which they didn't, then he says, I'm going to judge. I'm going to do this and that. And so when they didn't do it, he sent, you know, first of all, he sent Egypt, then he sent Assyria, then he sent Babylon. And Isaiah lives during the Babylon time, and he lives through four different kings. And during those four kings of Judah, the southerners, who are the better, they're the better Jewish people. They're the gooder ones, because they're phonies and fakes and liars. But they didn't learn their lesson when they saw the Assyrians taking the northern tribes, the Yankees. When the Yankees got it, the southerners said, Serves them right. Serves them right. Thank God we're not like other men. Thank God we're not like those, you know, Jews that have assimilated. How many know that some Jews actually were supposed to say separated and holy, but they actually got right into Baal. They got right into the pig slop, and they just did it. And so then they said, see, those guys deserved it. But we don't. We'll stay right here in Jerusalem, and nothing's going to happen to us because we did the right thing. How many know that is not true? That is not true. How many know that is not Christianity, and it wasn't Judaism? And so Isaiah keeps telling them, watch out, because this is going to happen to you too. And they just ignored it. They just blew God off and blew Isaiah off and blew the word off and blew everything off, blew their conscience off. They did everything. You cannot make anyone good. You can teach them. Say, oh, if we could only educate people that war was no good, they'd stop it. Not going to happen. If we could just tell them that alcohol wasn't good for them, they'd stop. Not going to happen. If smoking could kill you, and we could show them all pictures of what happens to babies when you abort and so on. It doesn't matter. People will still do wrong. I don't care how much you educate them. And he said, no, no, it really does some work. No, it doesn't. It just makes hypocrites and, you know, copers and people on the outside looking better for a few minutes. But sooner or later, if you live with those people, it'll come out. Hello? Hello? And so you cannot hide, a volcano that's building up inside the mountain. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. Boom. It's going to blow up the whole mountain. Mount St. Helens, at first, it just smoked a little bit. And everybody said, well, be careful. There might be the Richter scales going up. You know, it looks kind of bad. And nobody bought it. They just said, nah, it always does that. It's kind of just smoking right now. It's fine. But you knew there was some kind of trouble going on underneath. And then pretty soon, the mountain blew up on the top. And everybody said, you know what? It's just superficial. Little smoke. Little cinders, nothing too bad. And then a week later, I remember exactly the day and the hour and the minute when that happened. A week later, the whole thing blew. And then people realized, especially Harry Truman. Do you remember him? He had a little cabin there. And let's say I'm Harry and this is my cabin. And I say to myself, you know what? This mountain's had a lot of those things before. The top blown off like that, that's nothing new. I mean, it's significant, but those Richter scale people don't know what they're talking about, and we're fine. And so he stayed, and he did not move. 12 feet later, under ash, Harry Truman realized, you know what? I was wrong on that. In that one, I was wrong about that. And so the whole earth then experienced the fallout from that, and everybody realized, you know what? The whole institution could be corrupt. Because when you see smoke, there is a fire. There's a fire somewhere. And when people are mad and they bury it, it doesn't mean it's not going to come out. Sooner or later, your wickedness will show up. Amen? Your selfishness will be seen, no matter how much you cover it over with religion and morals and, you know, behaving yourself. So that is what the professionals try to, they don't solve it, by the way, but they do try to mitigate it. That is, they try to lessen the impact of it by doing various things. But the truth is, unless you get right with God, you're not going to be well. He is the only one that can cure. He is the only one that can give health, give hope, give a whole new life. And when you have that new life, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not in the world to come, in this world. Every minute of every second of my life is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it has been ever since the day that I met Jesus personally, and he turned my life completely upside down, just like he said right there. My life was going along fine. I had, you know, all the right degrees, I had all the right everything. Everything was going my way. I was doing well. And then all of a sudden, a terror came into my life. And I don't know if you can get this if you're on a downward trend, but if you're on an upward trend where it looks like it's getting better and better and better and better, the kind of a fear builds up. You don't notice it at first. It's like, what if I get everything I want and I'm still not happy? What, you know, not what if I fail, because then you might think if you had won, you'd have been all right. But if you actually get everything you want, it's even scarier. Because all of a sudden a terror took place, and I was actually not losing. I was doing fine. And I had the whole world ahead, and was going to go on from glory to glory to glory. But then this terror set in, and I didn't know what to do with it, because I didn't know what it was, because I'd never been terrorized before. I'd never been depressed. I'd never been, you know, shaken before, and I couldn't explain it. I didn't know if it came from Martians or, you know, who it came from. I didn't know where it came from. I just knew it seemed like God was kind of talking to me, and I didn't believe in him. I didn't want to believe in him. I didn't care about him. And it seemed like God was saying, Jim, if you just come to me, I'll take care of you. I don't want to. Has anybody ever resisted God before? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. And so you did too? 15. Okay, thank you. 16. Yeah, all right. The rest of you are liars. But anyway, resisting God is normal. As a matter of fact, he wrote his Bible exactly so you'd resist him. He actually told you to do right, knowing you would do wrong. He actually put the tree in the middle of the garden so everybody would walk by every day and say, not supposed to do that, not supposed to do that, so that one day you would do it. I mean, he didn't make you do it. He just told you not to do it, knowing you would do it. How many know that he knew? God knew exactly. He knows everything, the end from the beginning. He knows everybody's heart. He knows everybody's soul. He knows everybody's behavior, even before you do it, or think it, or feel it, or want it, or desire it. He knows everything. And he knows exactly how the world's going to come out, and the devil loses, and we win. How many know that we win, the devil loses? So the best is yet to come. He has saved the best. You haven't even seen the best. You haven't even seen the best. I told you I'm totally happy. All the time. Why am I happy? I'm happy because I heard the word and I believed it, and I didn't make myself believe it. I didn't even pray. I can guarantee you I never prayed, God help me to believe your word. I guarantee you I did not. I only was reading it to find out what it was saying. And I wasn't trying to become a Christian. I never wanted to be a Christian. I liked doing what I was doing. And because everything was good, everything was going well. But when terror comes into your life, you realize something is the things I'm going for, what if I get them? Not what if I don't get them, but what if I do get them and they don't satisfy? I'm still not, you know, satisfied. That terrorized me. That terrorized me. And when everything's going well in your life, a terror kind of takes place that speaketh to you. It says, you know, be careful, because there is something in the world that you don't know about. There's something in the universe that you're not aware of. There's something hidden that you cannot handle or conquer. Because when you're young, you have the feeling that you can do, you know, you're invincible, or you're very intelligent, especially when you're about 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, you just feel like, I don't know what the adults are worried about. I don't know what their problem is. This world's great. And you just call somebody up, hey, what's going on? You know, what's happening tonight? You know, I mean, it's just like, what is everybody worried about? You know, why are they doing what they're doing? Man, this is an awesome world. And you know, young guys are just full of adrenaline, and the girls are happy about it. And it's just all neat. Until you realize it ain't what it appears to be. And that just takes a while. That people, for example, if you ever get married to somebody, I don't know if you've done that or not, but if you get married to somebody, you discover you can't control them. The person you just married is uncontrollable. And they look nice, and they said the I do things and all of that. But it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long. And so life stinks after a while. And if you try to hide that and try to, you know, stay boozed up, stay drugged up, stay working hard or whatever, just stay busy, you can avoid that for years. But it's just building up like that volcano, and it will explode. And pretty soon you realize it's the first husband I married. That's the second one too. I should have picked better. But the third time I'm going to be right. And after you've done five or six of those, you begin to realize Maybe it's me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be there's something wrong with me picking, you know, because I seem to be picking all the wrong ones. First, I married, you know, a drunk. I shouldn't have done that. Then I married the minister. I shouldn't have done that. And then I married, you know, and so you just discover after a while that you don't know how to make good decisions. Has anybody discovered that a little bit, just a little bit? Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. And you're not as smart as you thought. You're not as good as you thought. And you're not as powerful and capable as you thought. And when you begin to realize that, it's actually much deeper than that. At any rate, terror is one thing that wakens up a people. America is being judged. It will be judged. It's already being judged, but it's going to be judged more. It's not going to go away because of the elections this fall. Suddenly, things aren't going to get better because, you know, something superficial happens. You have to realize that God is saying your problems are not physical, your problems are not emotional, your problems are not psychological, your problems are not, you know, mental, your problems are spiritual, and that's it. The whole reason why all this happens is spiritual. You broke God's laws. You totally ignored what God wrote on your heart, what he revealed to Moses, and what you know. You totally blew off your reason, you totally blew off your moral conscience and your sense of justice and decency, which every child knows, everybody in the world knows, even those that deny it. Well, I don't know if there is a natural law, or I don't know if there's anything written on anybody's heart, and I don't really know if there's a God. And that's just all nonsense stuff. The fool says in his heart there's no God. But there is, and he's in the heart right there. And he wrote it down. Do this, don't do that. So everybody in the whole world is guilty, and they know it, even if they say they don't. And when they stand before the Maker someday, and that's the only thing that'll solve it, when you stand before the Maker someday and have to give an account, then they'll realize, you know, I probably should have paid attention. Too late. You aren't going to be able to recover at the last moment and all of a sudden come up with some new trick. That judge knows everything that you thought, everything that you said, everything that you did, and he can play those on a video for you if you don't mind, or for everyone if you do. It's okay, just so that everybody can see that when I make my sentence, you'll know it's true. You were guilty, because he is not going to have anybody leave his throne feeling innocent. Everybody's going to be guilty. And so the only difference is, on the right hand, you know you're guilty, but you accepted Jesus, and therefore you're innocent and declare it. But you still know you're guilty. But he just declares it, and you accept it, and you go to the right hand, sheep. And the others will go to the left hand, goats. So God is so good, he is going to do things because he loves us. Judgment is not because he hates us. Judgment is because he loves us. So when you're in trouble, that's good. Count it all joy when you face various trials, troubles, tribulations, and tests. So when you get one of those, call up somebody and say, hallelujah, you won't believe it. The IRS is auditing me right now. My doctor says I have 3 weeks to live, and my husband just left. Hallelujah, Alice, you can't believe it. Now, because when you face all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations, which God allows, doesn't cause them, he just allows them to happen because of your own sins. That's to wake you up and to teach you that this was not how I made you. I made you to be holy, to follow me, but I'm the only one that can make you do that. I'm the only one that can cause that to happen. Just turn to me and say, I did wrong. I'm sorry. Help me. That's all he's ever wanted. That's all he's ever wanted. Okay, God, I did wrong. Help me. I'm coming clean. I'm naked. Okay, here. Now what? Well, you should have said this before. He won't say that. He'll be happy to have you come. Just as you are. God will never rebuke you for coming and saying, God, I did wrong. He loves that. The first thing he says is, I forgive you. It's gone. Don't worry about it. Jesus Christ died for you. Second thing is, he's going to send you through the fire, and you're going to burn up all that stuff, so it'll all be gone. Okay. Can you do it when I'm sleeping? Because I don't know if I could cooperate. I probably will wiggle, try to get away. How many know that God doesn't care about wigglers and try to get away people? He's not worried about that. He has good news for everybody, and it's always good news, and it's always good news, and it'll always be good news. He has good news for Judah. the one if my people group. The if my people group is the same. We're that people today. How many know that we're that people today? We're his people. Now, Israel's going to be restored, but they're not going to be restored on their own. They're going to be restored because God is going to show mercy to us, which will be so convincing that they will realize, I want what you have. We haven't done that yet. We are not yet a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But God is going to purify us in these last days, and wouldn't he like to start with you? So who's ready today to say, Lord, start with me. I need it. If anybody else in the church needs it, I need it. I'm the one. Do whatever it takes to get me. How many? It's powerful. It's powerful. God will never hurt you. He's already taken everything out on Jesus. He will only bless you. But you have to come clean. Just come into the light. Be naked. Don't cover yourself with your own fig leaves and stuff. Just come as you are. God doesn't want you to be clean or perfect or sinless. He wants to do it. He created you. He can then recreate you. He can then restore you. He can then do whatever he wants to do, because only he can do what he wants to do. No one else can do what God wants done. You cannot done it. Because if you could, he wouldn't have said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. It's a gift. It's free. It doesn't cost a thing. It's the right hand of God. So by his mighty right hand, more powerful than his powerful, powerful left hand, this one is more powerful. Because this one is forgiveness, it's mercy, it's love, it's restoration, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's everything you could ever want, or you couldn't even want this because you don't even know how great it is. It's better than anything you could imagine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He doesn't want sacrifices. He doesn't want, you know, your goodness. He doesn't want you struggling. You're trying to control yourself. He doesn't want that. Leave it alone. Just trust Jesus. Jesus, take care of it. Don't even know what I'm talking about? You do. Go for it. Thank you. I'm not going to resist you. I'm just not going to help you because I don't know how. I goof everything up by touch. But you can perfect me so that on the last day when the trumpet sounds, I will be ready. I will be perfect. Spirit, soul, body, complete. I will be a part of the bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And so this is a great story. The hope part, which you're going to love, the hope part is that's what happens when you go through this. Trust that this is good for you. So whatever's about to happen, don't fight it. And when I am chastened, I will come forth pure, and I will have your life, your joy, your peace, your everything. I won't have a need for anything. And you can have that today. You don't have to wait for that to be perfected. You can have that today in your heart, and you can have that today in your soul. And you could have that today in your life. Joy unspeakable. But you'd have to start again tomorrow. Every day you start again. The new heart stays permanent, but the new life and soul is daily, daily, daily. I die daily. I'm resurrected daily. I'm born again daily. Why does he do that? Because he keeps reminding you, this is a gift, this is a gift, this is a gift. You can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Don't even try, don't even try, don't even try. Let me do it, let me do it, let me do it. To me, this is the best news. Actually, the bad news is so good because it tells me I can't do it. When you get sick, or when you're poor, or when you've lost your relationships and nobody likes you, that's the best thing could happen to you. Because that's when you're teachable for the first time is, you know what? I better have a God. Because I'm not. And that humility is what he's going to exalt. He'll take anybody that's down and lift them up. But anybody that's lifted up, he'll pull them down. So if you're up, he'll pull you down so that then he can lift you up. But if you got up, you did that. You puffed yourself up. He didn't lift you up. But if you're down where you belong, he will then lift you up, because that's always been his secret. That's always been his will. He's hidden that behind his back, and he's going to bring it out. So these are the best days that there ever has been.